I am being transformed, as we are all being transformed daily as we die, into the image and likeness of Yeshua. You know, that's a very difficult thing for our flesh. But it's a blessing. It's a blessing because God wants to conform him, us into his image and into his likeness.
That's right.
Praise be to his name. Father, we come before you at this time. Father, we ask, O God, that any deception that we have been walking in, may the Ruach shine that light upon it right now. That we be as children of the light, may walk no more in any form a shadow of darkness. That we may walk in the light. And that, Father, that we'll prove to the world that you do exist, that when they truly see that we esteem one another and we love one another with Yeshua's love, not our own love, but in Yeshua's love. This we pray and ask in Yeshua's name. Amen. Today I'm going to be sharing, some of you have a copy of this Bible. It's called the Complete Jewish Bible. And it was translated by David H. Stern. It's an excellent work, and that's what the Lord has had me meditating on for the past 4 years, this portion. I've been learning, I've been growing in the Lord in it. He's been opening beautiful things to me. I've been becoming more and more educated. Today's message is a continuation of Shamash. It is a servant. It is number 4. Adonai Yeshua, Adonai Elohim, our Abba. His servant series, it is called Intimate Encounters with Yeshua, Our Salvation, in the Tanakh. He revealed himself. For what did Yeshua come to do? That's correct. But also to reveal the Father's heart.
Amen.
And you know what? What has been passed in our state is not of the Father's heart. And we have differing opinions of what has taken place. But what does the Word say? The Word says this, that he took what? He took our father Adam, he took Hava, Eve, our mother, and he joined them together to be one. And that is his definition of marriage. Amen.
Right.
Let us now turn to the book of Bereshit, that is Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And I'll just share this as you're turning. A theophany is an appearance by God, Adonai Yeshua, taking some form, usually a human form, in order to be visible to human beings. Elohim, God plural, Adonai Yeshua, took visible form to walk with Adam and Hava, life Eve, in the garden. A shamash, a servant, a deacon, or attendant in the synagogue within Messiah's community, to apply oneself to be ready for service and to wait until you hear that beck and call and you declare, Hineni, Lord, here am I. Yohanan declares in 13, 1 and 12, you don't have to turn there, Yeshua is our example. Yeshua declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father, Abba, except through me. That was his declaration from the beginning. It was Yeshua who established our relationship with our parents. Now, all you who are here today are sons and daughters of Adam and Hava, Eve. We are all one mishpoka. But what we're going to be dealing with here in this portion of Scripture is when one of the members of the family walked not among the counsel and the will of Abba, our Father, and it brings disaster. Let us begin. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And the man had sexual relations with Hava, his wife. Praise be to God. She conceived and gave birth to Cain, acquisition, and said, I have acquired a man from Adonai. In addition, she gave birth to his brother Hevel. Hevel kept the sheep while Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought an offering to Adonai from the produce of the soil. And Hebel too brought from the firstborn of his sheep, including the fat. Adonai accepted Hebel and his offering, but he did not accept Cain and his offering. Cain was very angry and his face fell. Adonai Yeshua said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why are you so downcast? If you are doing what is good, shouldn't you hold your head high? And if you don't do what is good, sin is crouching at the door. It wants you, but you can rule over it." Cain had words with Hebel, his brother. Then one time, when they were in the field, Cain turned on Hebel, his brother, and he killed him. Adonai said to Cain, "Where is Hebel, your brother?" And he replied, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I his guardian?" He said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. Now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood at your hands. When you farm the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You will be a fugitive, wandering the earth." Cain said to Adonai Yeshua, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. You are banning me today from the land and from your presence. I will be a fugitive wandering the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." Adonai Yeshua answered him, "Therefore, whoever kills Cain will receive vengeance sevenfold." And Adonai Yeshua put a sign on Cain and said, "No one who found him would kill him." So Cain left the presence of Adonai and lived in the land of Nod, a place of wandering, east of Eden. Cain had sexual relations with his wife, and she conceived and she gave birth to Hanoah. Cain built a city and named the city after his son Hanoah. To Hanoah was born Irad, and Irad fathered Mikael, and Mikael fathered Methushael, and Methushael fathered Lamech. And Lamech took himself two wives, and the name of the one was Adah, while the name of the other was Zillah. Adah gave birth to Yavel, and he is the ancestor of those who live in tents and have cattle. His brother's name was Yuvol, and he was the ancestor of all those who play the lyre and the flute. Zillah gave birth to Tuval Cain, who forged all kinds of tools from brass and iron. The sister of Tuval Cain was Naamah. Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zilhah, "Listen to me, wives of Lamech. Hear what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man who injured me. If Cain be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. And Adam had sexual relations with his wife, and she gave birth to a son whom she named Seth. He was granted, for God had granted me another seed in place of Hebel, since Cain had killed him. To Seth, too, was born a son, who was called Enosh. And that is when the people began to call on the name of Adonai Yeshua." A lot has happened in this portion of Scripture here. Listen in verse 1 to Hava's joy at the birth of her son, Cain. It was thankful, and it was with great expectation. Why? This is what she said. "By the help of Adonai, the Lord, I have acquired a man from Adonai." What had just happened in the third chapter prior to this? Our mother and father rebelled against Abba's will. What was his reaction? He did not destroy them. He allowed them to live. And he took what? Lambs. He killed them and he clothed them. This was a type of himself. For I declare to you, he that took those lambs and slaughtered those lambs and clothed our parents was Yeshua himself. It says in God's word that no man has seen the Father but Yeshua the Son. It was not the Ruach HaKodesh. Because I declared to you at the beginning of this message, what was the will? Why was Yeshua sent into this earth? To reveal the Father's heart. There are angels that are mentioned throughout the Tanakh that do not give their names. Our father Abraham saw Yeshua before he was born of Miriam. Moshe saw Yeshua. Yeshua's own words said that when Moses was, I am that I am. Yeshua does not lie. The one who's speaking to you, it's possible for me to lie. But this is his word and not my own. Let us continue. Cain, the name Cain, he signifies possession. Because she believed that now my birth pains will decrease. Why? Because the promised seed had come. For the Lord declared to them that from her would come a seed, that righteous root would come, the Messiah. She believed that she received this promised seed. Eve, our mother, Hava, this appeared to be an answer to her prayers. But what soon took place? The birth of another child, another boy. His name was Hevel. Abel. And guess what, ladies? Those of you who have been blessed by giving childbirth will attest, has not your birth pains increased? Children are God's gifts and must be acknowledged in the building up of families. It both increases and sanctifies our comfort in them when we see them coming to us from the very hand of God. They're gifts. Who will not forsake the works of the gifts of his own hand? They are Elohim, our Abba's inheritance. Those four little children that were standing before us today, and those who could come and stand before us from time to time, both visitors and those who are part of the seed of Abraham here, they are not ours. They are the Lord's inheritance. Just as everyone who is sitting here today, we are all what? The children of our Father, Abba. And just as we bestow upon these young people the goodness, the admiration, the love, and the tenderness, and we watch over them, not as Cain did with Abel, because God wanted Cain to be what? His younger brother's protector. He failed in that. In the Torah, it says that we're to help what? Our brothers and sisters in Messiah. When we see that they are in need, we're not to turn our heads away.
That's right.
And not in sit in judgment on their state. But we're to show them what? Tender mercies. Just as we have received, we're to give. And that is to be brought out by what? The love as we die in ourselves. Have you ever been irritated by a brother and sister in Messiah? I have.
Amen.
Will I continue to be irritated by a brother and sister in Messiah? Yes. How is that irritation lessened? When I die. When I turn to the Father and say, Father, this brother and sister, they irritate me to no end. Please give me your love. Let me see. Open my blind eyes. Remove these blinders that I may see them as you see them. In their need. And I, as the elder brother in Messiah, turn to them and come to them and say, Father, where can I meet my brother and sister's need? That is the attitude we're to have. Because you know what? How is the world going to be won? How is the seed of Abraham here going to grow? By our study and learning of Hebrew? Help a little. I'm beginning. I'm learning. It'll be done by this. When they come here and they behold how what? We love one another. And that's something you and I cannot put on. We cannot fake it. We have to all die. That Messiah Yeshua can rise in us. Let us continue. When she thought that she had obtained the promised seed in Cain, she was so taken up with that possession that her other son was like vanity to her. Here was her promised seed. Here was her focus. Abel was set aside. As we see through our patriarchs, what do we see? A lot of times twins are born, and you can fill in the blanks there, can we not? Sometimes the father would take the son and esteem him highly because he was the firstborn. But what we see played out time and time again, that it was the younger that had a heart after God. What do we see in this passage here? We see that there was a demonstration here in this. As Yeshua took those lambs, sacrificed them, and gave, clothed our parents. Here was the example that Abel and Cain were to follow. That is why later when Cain, well, it's time here on Shabbat to go and worship the Lord, he just grabbed some of that, whatever was there, from the labor of his hand, and said, here, Lord. How many times do we come in the presence of the Lord? I have come in the presence of the Lord. Yes. Just going through routines. We can put up the overheads and we can go through this and just say the words. Sing those songs. But have we circumcised our hearts? Earlier in the week. I believe that Rabbi Ed can testify to this, that as when he prepares messages and as the truth of God's word is revealed to him and to us, we see our image as God sees and we're disgusted. I'm disgusted with my image, my own image. Why? Because I see those imperfections. And I cry out before the Lord and say, Lord, change me. I need to change. I need to grow. I can't do it on my own. And he says, Frank, continue to die. Continue to allow the Ruach HaKodesh to reveal to you, to bring light to you, these sins in your life. Because, Frank, you have brothers and sisters in Messiah that are watching your life. And they see those sins. And some of them are walking in those sins. And they see that you're an older brother in Messiah. And you're not walking in the provision of the Lord. For what did Yeshua say to Cain? Here, Cain, sin is crouching at the door. But what is the hope there? But you can overcome it. Not in myself, but as I allow Yeshua to live in me. And when I come before the Father and said, Father, I've done it yet again. I've committed this sin. And you fill in the blank. We know what our sins are before God. But he shows us tender mercy. Let's skip over this portion here. The worship of Yeshua Adonai Elohim God is not a new invention, but an ancient institution. Is that what was from the beginning? In Yohanan, 1 John 1 through 4. Turn with me there right now. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It's beautiful to hear the word of God, these pages being opened up. This is the tree of life that we have in our hands. And it reveals whom? Yeshua. And the Father's heart. 1 John chapter 1. The word which gives life, he existed from the beginning, and we have heard him. We have seen him with our own eyes, and we have contemplated him. This is speaking of Yeshua. We have touched him with our hands. This is Torah. The life appeared and we have seen it. We are testifying to it and announcing it to you, eternal life. And whom do we have eternal life? Yeshua. He was with the Father and he appeared to us. Who's writing this here? Yohanan. The one that laid upon Yeshua's chest was very, very close to him. Can you imagine that? Looking in the very eye, spending 3.5 years with Yeshua. Holding him. Seeing him sweating. Seeing him tired. Seeing him pouring out his life in prayer and devotion. Seeing the miracles. And seeing the crowds when they turned against him. Let us continue. He was with the Father and he appeared to us. What we have seen and have heard, we are proclaiming to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Yeshua the Messiah. We are writing these things so that your joy may be complete. Rabbi Ed shared earlier out of Isaiah about material things. We've all learned as we've walked with the Lord, those things, they do not suffice. I'll get a new book. I'll get a new CD. I'll get a new this. I'll get a new that. I rejoice in it for a while. You know, it uplifts me, like the Maurice Scholar CD that I received. Wasn't it wonderful to have them here? I'm able to soak in that music and die before the Lord. But all these things, they pass. You know that in the book of Kefa, Peter, it says that when he does come to judge the heavens and the earth, it's not going to be by water, it's going to be by fire. Everything that we hold precious, our IRAs, our savings accounts, our homes, everything's going to burn up. It's not going to exist. So why are we holding on to these things? Why do they cause us to divide us between one another? And why do we allow that to hinder us from doing our Father's will? Adonai Elohim, Yeshua, God sees and recognizes evil that is in our hearts. We are called what? To circumcise our hearts. What does that mean? That means that anything that is of the flesh, not that we are to stop eating and drinking, no. But anything that takes away from who Yeshua is in our lives. You know, it's beautiful to know that we're not here all by ourselves. We have an excellent rabbi in Rebbetzin. We have elders and we have deacons here who instruct us. But each one of us have what? The promise of Yeshua. The Ruach HaKodesh that what? After he was taken up And he went to the Father. He sent what? His Ruach, that we may walk in the Ruach. And that he will present us one day in that wedding feast. Guys, I know it's really tough. When I first read this in Scripture, I said, man, there has to be a misprint. This is where someone mistranslated the Bible. But what does it say? It says this. We are the bride of Messiah. Now, me as a guy, when I first saw that, I thought, that doesn't make any sense. But yes, I can declare, yes, I am part of the bride of Messiah. And that one day we shall all be joined into marriage together. Now, I know what the state has implemented. And I know that some of those that are walking that deception would say, well, here it says the bride of Messiah, and it's male and female, and we're all married together, and you know, you can get really weird and strange. But it has no sexual content dealing with the bride of Messiah. What does it say in the Scripture? It says this, that when we go up to the heavens, we shall be like whom? Like the angels. The reproduction of human life is going to cease to exist. It's a beautiful thing. It's ordained for here, but not up for there. And we can rejoice in that. Isn't it wonderful that God, when he took our father Adam and formed him, that he didn't reach back and form another guy? Or reversed, Hava was formed out of the clay, and then he formed another female. And they were joined into marriage. You know what would have happened? We would not be here. It's as simple as that. It's not profound. It is profound. But it's so simple. That's God's way. That's his provision. But you know, when we see a brother and sister walking in deception, we're not to come up to them and say, you know, thus saith the Lord, you're going straight to hell. No. Because I'll tell you this, that when I was a young believer, when I heard those people come up to me and say those things to me, I wanted to run away. I didn't want to have no part of them. So if I, as a young person, didn't want any part of those fire and brimstone people then, how much more is someone who's walking in deception would even hear the words they say? What will break through? And I've met people who have had sex changes from male to female and from female to male. This is not part of the sermon, but this is the direction the Lord has me go. Praise be to his name. And I'm not going to worry about my wife. If she's here, she'd be just shaking. Oh, what's he going to say? But I'll tell you this. I have no fear. Maybe some of you notice that. That's a good and a bad thing. But this, I've met individuals who have been walking that deception. Had that, they mutilated their bodies to walk in what? The image that Hasatan said that they were to be. When Abba, our Father, formed us through Yeshua's hands in our mother's wombs, he made us who we are to be. He didn't make any mistakes. He made us who we're to be. And whether you're from a Jewish background or a Gentile background, it doesn't matter. If your name be inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's all that matters. How many of my Jewish brothers have heard the message of Yeshua and have rejected it? God has given us all those choices. So just as intently as we pray for our lost Jewish brethren to have the veil removed from their eyes, their ears unplugged, and for them to stop walking in deception, should we not implore the same intensity and passion and have compassion? Have you ever walked up to an Orthodox person and you start sharing about Yeshua, and they become physically violent? Okay? I've been there. And with this, God filled my heart with love and compassion for that man. Just now, as I would go, and I used to go, I used to have a street witnessing team. And there was one time we'd go out twos by twos. And there were a lot of times we had odd numbers. So I would go by myself. One day I was walking down in Minneapolis. And there was this bar there. And it said Gay 90s on it. I had my Bible. I was out passing out tracts. And the Lord said to me, go in there. So I went in there. And you know what? When you walk into a place like that, and I had a much smaller Bible than this one. And it had a cover on it. When I walked in there and I opened up the door, they had some bouncers there that were of a different persuasion than I. And they looked at the Bible and they looked at me. And they walked up to me and said, why are you here? I said, I'm here to have lunch. Do you serve lunch? Yeah, we do. They said, what do you have in your hand? I said, I think you know what that is. And one of the guys said, do you know my grandma? I said, no. He said, well, I got a grandma that's been praying for me. When light comes into a dark place, everyone notice. And as I walked by that corridor there, and I walked into these swinging doors there, there were mostly men in there, and a few women, and there was music going on. And as soon as I walked through those doors, every eye, I'm not kidding, I'm not making this up, every eye turned towards me. Because you know what? I would stand out there for years and I would be handing out these pamphlets. And on there was a facsimile of what most people believe Yeshua looked like. And you know what it said on the very top? I love you. So you know what? Someone of a homosexual or lesbian persuasion, they would look at that and say, wow, man, you really love me? And I say, yeah, I do love you. And they were joking with me as they saw the Bible in my hand. And they said, so what do you have in here? And it was just all Bible verses. Talking about the love and the provision of Messiah Yeshua. That's all it dealt with. So anyway, I walk in there and I sit down. And this one waiter, and I'm not kidding, he came up to me and he was shaking. The bouncers came over as they thought, this guy's going to leap upon the table and start doing a fire and brimstone. Okay? And so he came up to me and he said, can I help you? Do you know where you are? You've wandered here and you don't belong here. And I said, do you serve lunch? And he said, yeah. And he's still shaking. And then so then he sits down a little brochure there of the food that they had. And all what's going around me, there's guys dancing and they're, you know, they're doing their things. And there are women dancing together and they're doing their things. And I'm in the midst of all this stuff. I'm in the very den of iniquities. And this is where God wants me to be. I'm in his perfect will. Because you know what? All those years of handing out those pamphlets prior to that time, if I would went presumably into that place, what would have happened? The Lord would have dealt with me because of my disobedience. So I continued to sit there. I looked at the menu. I ordered lunch. The bouncers, one of them sat across me. The other guy sat right next to me. They thought I was going to flip out one of these times. They saw me. They knew who I was. You know, because on the very back of the track, you know what was on there? Myself and another brother, his name is Jeff Adams, with our heads bowed, our hands joined. Get the picture of this. I love you on the front, picture of Yeshua, Bible verses. Oh, here's two guys holding hands. What's this guy about? In this setting. So anyway, one of the bouncers, he said, so, do you have any literature? I said, sure. I said, do you want some? He said, yeah. So I handed him one of them. And he started looking at it. And he was the guy that had his grandma had been interceding, praying. He started to cry. Okay, I'm just sitting there. All this is going on. These couples are walking up. They're looking, you know. That's, you know, they're talking. They recognize who I am. I'm a familiar face in that area. I guess I was famous to them in a bad way. So anyway, continuing. I ordered the food. This guy's crying. Okay? I haven't said a word to him. You know, compelling him, condemning him, quoting scripture. I didn't need to say anything. I ordered my lunch, and then an older gentleman came up to me, and I mean, he was just full of gold, just dressed. And you know, back then, guys had their shirts way down open to here. I don't know how you ladies handle that look. I mean, that's disgusting to me. I never dressed like that, but you know the you ladies back then that used to date guys like that? Oh, gross. But anyway, going on. Let's move on. Yes, Lord. Isn't it great when you see where it's Frank and when it's the Lord? But that's what was happening. I'm just testifying what was going on there, okay? So finally, the waiter, he brought the food. He's spilling my water. And you may be asking, well, why'd you order water? See, I have a testimony as a believer, okay? Now, none of the people that were out there with me that day, because we used to go out usually at 8 in the morning, and we would share the good news sometimes till 1, 2, 3 Sunday morning. You know, these were mature people that were out with me. They were well discipled, okay? And they were out there to share their faith. All of us were young. All of us were in between the ages of 18 to 30, which to me seems really, really young today, because I'm 53. But anyway, I just stayed there, and then I just ate my food, and that one guy, he came up and he sat next to me, and he said, you got any literature? And I said, yeah. He looked at me and he said, and he put his hand on my shoulder and said, you know what? I love you too. He said, let me tell you a Bible story. I said, really? I'd love to hear it. He said, there's a passage in the scripture. He said it's someplace in the Old Testament, and it talks about David and Jonathan. Okay? And he said, you know what? I said, do you want to find it in the Bible? I got a Bible right here. He said, no, I really don't want to touch that thing. I said, okay. And when I reached my hands toward that Bible, that other bouncer put his hand on my shoulder like, you know, I really don't want you to open up that thing in here. So I know he was under conviction too. The Lord calls us what? As sheep to go among whom? Wolves. I was in the wolf's den. So continuing, the guy said, well, what is your interpretation? I thought, man, this guy, he spent some time, you know, in the Word and around believers. He said, what is your interpretation of what it says here that the love between Jonathan and David was better than that of a woman? And, you know, you're in those instances like that. And I was a young believer. I was probably 19 years old. So I became a born-again believer when I was 12 years old, okay? So here I've been walking with the Lord maybe 7 or 6 years. Sometimes on math, I'll get goofed up in my head. So I'm just, you know, I'm still a new believer. But the Lord showed me something. That any time I'm in a place and I don't have the right words to share, He will fill my mouth on what to say. With the word and the power of God, we can cause Hasatan to flee in anguish and pain, in complete madness. We have that authority in Yeshua's name. Not that we presume upon that, but you know what? When you're walking in His will, and He's filling you, and He's leading and guiding and directing you, even when you're all by yourself, because when He said that, the Lord just a picture came in my mind and I saw Daniel in the lion's den. The Lord just showed me that image so that I would respect and hear his voice and know what position I was in. So anyway, I answered the man and I said, you know what? It's very, very beautiful what you said, that yes, the love between them was greater than that of a woman. But I said, have you ever read the whole portion there where it talks about where Jonathan gave up his clothes, he gave up his armor, and later he gave up his life. He actually betrayed his own father, King Saul, and warned David. And later on, because he recognized, think about this, in the body of Messiah, there's jealousy. Okay? It goes on. In this story here, about Cain and Hevel, there's jealousy.
That's right.
Jonathan knew of Samuel going and anointing David as the future king. Have you ever thought of that? And what was Jonathan's response? He loved David. He honored and he cherished David. He saw the Ruach HaKodesh being manifested in David. And that's what he desired most of all. And here was a man who could have been the future king of Israel. And he was willing to lay that aside and to betray his own father who was mad. Remember the spear throwing? David was the target occasionally. He'd come and bring out his harp, his lyre and play and sing praises to God to calm King Saul. Why? Because there had been a spirit that was sent to Saul. Why? To torment him to the place where he would go into repentance. When the Lord allows, through his tender mercy, he dispatches a demon into someone's life, it was to bring them what? To repentance. What did God say? And I said this to that man. What did God do in the life of Job? He allowed calamity to come. Because who was this? This was Hasatan, and he walked before what? The throne of God. And he was declaring in this portion here. There's a hedge around him. And if you will remove that hedge from him, he will rise up and curse you. God knew Job's heart. God allowed that hedge to be removed. And isn't it sad what happened here? Job's wife was spared, but what of his sons and daughters? They were all slain. I've looked at that scripture and I've wrestled with it. And I've looked in Yeshua, here you're revealing the heart of God, but yet you allowed this to take place. Job has always been an eternal testimony of a man of God that Charles Capps, Kenneth Hagin, they stayed away during the prosperity times of ever teaching and preaching about Job. God allowed those things to take place in Job that all of us living now, no matter what calamity that we face in life, know that God will give us a provision in all this. So I shared with that man that King David and Jonathan, they never laid together. I said to him, I said, now, Adam and Eve, I said, why didn't God? And I said, I respect you, sir. You have a different opinion than I do. And just when I said that, that bouncer leaned a little bit forward. He's a lot bigger than I was. He could have just pummeled me very, very easily. Back then, I probably weighed 135 pounds, so I wasn't a giant. So anyway, the guy leaned forward there, and I said, "Sir, why didn't God then take Adam, and then after Eve fell, and Adam fell, that since Eve brought him that fruit, he didn't inquire of the Lord there. Remember, he's supposed to be the high priest of the household. And asked her the question, where did this fruit come from? But he took of it, he ate of it, and his eyes were open. I said, why didn't God in his provision, according to what you believe, why didn't he slay Hava, reach up in the ground, form Steve? If God ordains your lifestyle. I said, answer me this. He said, I thought you were going for Sodom and Gomorrah. I said, I don't need to. I said, if you truly believe in God, and I said, I believe that you've had some heritage where you've heard the things of the Lord. And he looked right down. He couldn't look at me anymore. And he got up and he slowly walked away. I continued to finish my meal. The other bouncer there, he's sobbing so bad, he gets up and he leaves. The other guy, he just looks at me. And he doesn't say anything. So I paid for my meal. I didn't make a whole lot of money at that time. I gave a decent tip. And I left. But as I left, I began to pray. Ruach HaKodesh, descend upon these, yes, my brothers and sisters who walk in deception.
Yes.
That they may see who they are serving. That they may walk in the light as I walk in the light. Because God, my sins, although in some interpretations may not be as weighty as theirs, in your eyes, I've missed the mark.
Yes, that's right.
I don't know what happened to those individuals, but it is my hope and prayer that the deception that they were walking in, their eyes were opened. Just as our eyes have been opened. We are to entreat one another with tender mercies. Judgment, isn't it beautiful? Judgment is where? It is to be in the hands of the Lord. I don't need to judge anybody. Praise God. I don't know the content of your hearts, but the Ruach HaKodesh knows the content of my heart. Father, we come before you right now, and I know this is where you want me to close. Oh God, we just pray right now that you would transform us. Father, let us, when we see someone walking in sin, may our heart be as your heart begins to weep. May we stand in the gap and declare, if not by your grace, there go I. Father, the time of judging must end. The time, O God, of showing tender mercies, walking in greater love, is the time that you desire for us to walk therein. Father, we cannot do this in and of ourselves. We pray, O God, that as we look at our brothers and sisters in the seed of Abraham here, that we would see them, O God, as you see them.
That's right.
That, Father, we would not be quick to point out the error. But I know, Lord, you've given some authority, like Rabbi Ed in Rebbetzin, Alberta, the elders and the deacons here. I pray, O God, that they would now, and I would circumcise my heart. That anything that I do, any word that I speak, I would bring it before the Father. And that Yeshua would show me the Father's love on this, in this area.
Yes.
And the Ruach HaKodesh will give me the power to manifest the right decision. I pray for discernment.
Amen.
For the leadership in the seed of Abraham.
Yes.
Because, Lord, we know one day that there are going to be some couples here that walk through these doors that don't believe in the same covenant that you have established. And, Father, you want us to reach out to them.
Yes.
Father, I thank you for the Exodus ministry of those individuals that once were, as your word says in the Brit Hadashah, some of you once were homosexual. Once were. You once were walking in deception. But when the light, the truth of the good news was revealed to you, your eyes were open. Just as it was with Rav Shaul. He was going away just as Cain went away. Cain's life ended that way. Cain committed murder. Rav Shaul committed murder. He turned brothers and sisters in the way over to be stoned. But Lord, you showed Rav Shaul tender mercies, just as you did Cain. You gave him opportunity. He married. He had children. And from his children, there were believers, oh God. And Father, I know that one day, as when we are all before your throne, we're going to be shocked and we're going to be surprised. When we in our lives have judged these individuals who have walked in sin and we've detested them and said that there's no way that that person would ever repent. We've judged them. We've walked in judgment. That is your portion. We've stepped in that area, oh God, and we've declared, we've placed ourselves upon that throne. In the lives of our family members, in the lives of our friends, in the life of our co-workers, in the lives of those who are sitting next to us today. Father, we ask that you'd rebuke us, that we would truly walk in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that declares, if my people, say it to with me, who are my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear their prayer and I shall heal their land. Father, that is our prayer today. Father, may repentance start in the house of God, where Yeshua is being lifted up. God the Father is being manifested, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, has free reign to do His will. Father, may these new days that we walk in as a congregation be far greater. May we walk in a deeper love, O God, one towards another, as we all circumcise our hearts together and lay up our bodies as a holy and living sacrifice that is acceptable, O God, just as Hevel, Abel's sacrifice, was pleasing to you. To your name be all praise and glory and honor.